Tripping.
Capoeira is the connection with your soul, your mind, and your body. And more than yourself, everybody around you. Ubuntu.
That voice you just heard is capoeirista Puma Camille. Hello and welcome back to Roots and Ritual. This is a trippin' podcast exploring the spirited practices, lifestyles, and ceremonies that connect cultures across the world. I'm Yasmin Shamir, I'm your host, and I'm a co-founder of the travel platform Trippin'.
And I'm Robin Lando. My work explores the neuroscience of well-being, so I'm going to be taking us a bit deeper into the science of what's going on in our brains and bodies when we're experiencing these rituals.
And together we uncover the origins and delve into the science behind these practices that have paved the way for what we now know as modern forms of expression and well-being.
Roots and rituals. Connect worldwide.
On today's episode, we're traveling to Brazil to learn all about capoeira, the Afro-Brazilian dance of liberation. Now, capoeira is many things. It's a martial art, it's a dance, it's a game of skill and strategy. But most importantly, it's a way of storytelling. It's history and emancipation in motion. Although it's a cornerstone of Brazilian culture, we're going to explore its African origins and how it's evolved over the years, and how its core values of community, connection, movement, and mastery continue to inspire people across the world to this day. To guide us through the world of capoeira, we are so fortunate to hear from two incredible people, capoeira master Ponciano Almeida and capoeirista Puma Camille, who's drawing the parallels between capoeira and vogue, the two liberated moving art forms born from the diaspora and rooted in community and expression. Puma shares his personal experiences with us about how capoeira changed his life and how his introduction to Vogue has given him the corporal language to fully express and embrace all parts of himself. Before we get started, I wanted to introduce you to a few of the words you're going to hear throughout the show. Capoeirista, which is somebody who plays capoeira, a mestre, which means teacher or capoeira master, the roda, which is the circle within which a game of capoeira takes place, and the ginga, which is the sway or the swing, and this is one of capoeira's fundamental movements. Now, the world of capoeira is vast, deep, and rich, to say the least, and condensing it into one episode has been a challenge and barely scrapes the surface of this practice and all of its intricacies, techniques, and teachings. But I hope that whether you're a capoeirista yourself or whether you've never heard of capoeira before, that you're going to hear something in this episode that moves you. So let's get into the show. To describe capoeira is like trying to catch a cloud. It's very hard to pin down. It's so many things to so many people, from a physical activity to a form of cultural preservation. So I had to ask Puma to explain capoeira in his own words.
Capoeira is one practice. I don't will say dance. I don't will say culture. I don't will say art. I don't will say fight. Capoeira is everything. I learned capoeira in my historic classes. So when I talk about the history, capoeira was there. Capoeira was in sports in my school, and capoeira was in art. So all studies, capoeira was there. In Portuguese, we was talking about Yoruba and how Portuguese was created and how capoeira had connection with it. So capoeira was there. And for me, capoeira is one glass that you put, and after you put the word change.
To help us trace back the origins of capoeira, we spoke with a master, Ponciano Almeida. He's a mestre of capoeira who's been practicing, learning, and teaching for over 30 years.
My name is Ponciano Almeida. I'm from a small town called Guaratinguetá, between Rio and São Paulo. We could say that roots of capoeira, probably among the oldest forms of roots of movement, we're going back to Africa, of course, and we're going back into different places in Africa, one in particular, which would be Angola, which we have a a primitive dance called the Ngolu, and that is the dance that is associated with the dance of the zebra. It is a passage of rite when the boy became, when from a boy to become a man, they would perform this dance, which is fighting like dance. Indeed, there are many movements similar to capoeira, as you would find. And it was, again, a dance, a fight-like, many elements that you can connect, ritualistic aspect, but at the same time, it's fun, it's a manifestation that happened in the village. But in Brazil, that is not the only influence that shaped capoeira. So we're talking about a time, if we go back just after, Brazil was the country that enslaved most, the biggest number of enslaved we have in history. And it's actually the last country to abolish slavery. So we had this, we had different phases of slave trade in Brazil. And the first phase, which would be the biggest phase in terms of years, would be the Bantu people. I am slightly generalizing, of course, because that's that. This would be quite an academic subject if we want to go deep, but would be the Bantu people. And the last part, we can sort of generalize again, saying that would be the Yoruba people. So those cultures shaped a lot of Brazilian culture today. Now, if you are a Brazilian person, you can say you have a little bit of all of those cultures. A lot of time when I tell people, even language that we use today, that came from the Bantu or came from the Yoruba, they go, they have no idea. At the same time, that some of the native language of Brazil that we still use, a lot of people have no idea. They just assume sometimes that it's all Portuguese.
Of the 12 million African people taken by force during slavery, around 5 million ended up in Brazil. Brazilian culture as it's known today is so influenced by elements of African traditions, from the language to the cuisine, to the music, to the arts. And though capoeira is synonymous with Brazilian culture today, its origins are firmly rooted in Angola, Southwest Africa, with the dance-like fighting practice known as Ngolo. When African people were taken to Brazil by the Portuguese, the knowledge of their traditions came with them. On arriving in Brazil, they found themselves in a new environment under the most challenging of circumstances. And this is when the practice of Ngolo started its evolution into capoeira. Now, under the watch of the slave owners, they couldn't be seen to be practicing fighting or any form of self-defense, but cloaked in theatrics and surrounded by song and music, the African people strengthened their spirits, trained their bodies, and preserved their stories. Now, to the slave owners, what they were witnessing was just a dance, a bit of fun or entertainment, but as we're going to learn, capoeira is so much more. Capoeira was the result of a fusion between African and indigenous Brazilian cultures. As Puma explains, these people held some common beliefs and found strength in solidarity, building communities together in hard-to-reach places known as quilombos.
Old societies, indigenous societies in Brazil, Africa societies, they don't separate body with soul and with mind. Everything is one thing. And capoeira really was created. And quilombos in Brazil is the place where the slaveries go away when they escape of the owner's place. Mm-hmm. So when they escape, they start to understand and building quilombos. Not only black people, indigenous, and everybody that are opposite way to the government. So yeah. In that space, capoeira was developing a lot. In that moment, I say that indigenous make so strong part in capoeira with their knowledges with nature, their knowledge with connection, with medicines, with soul, with circles, with many, 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 many things.
The word capoeira itself, capoeira, it's actually a native word. So it's interesting because we say capoeira has native in its word. Capoeira has perhaps 70 to 80% African in its language of movement and 10 or 20% of European with their oppression against it, which helped to develop the art. So we have European in capoeira, we have African in capoeira, we have native. But the word capoeira, it's a word related to the native, a plantation, a form of plantation. It's actually quite beautiful because it's a form of plantation where you burn an area for that area to regrow again. which is has some beautiful metaphors there. But the area that you've burned or that you've cut is called capoeira. So in many ways, if you think of a jungle or a grass quite high, and I just create one area where it's hidden from everything else, and you can think of saying, let's go to the capoeira, then the art form taking the shape, let's go to capoeira, let's go and do capoeira. So taking the name from the space. And with things like capoeira, if we go back in time with our ancestors, they were hunters. They were people that had to be wise in the jungle. They had to listen and squat and hide. Capoeira is also a form of survival. We can talk about that, but that's a beautiful way of analyzing as well. Because when we come to capoeira, we should come out feeling better. And that is a form of survival. That's a form of liberating energy.
Despite efforts to outlaw and destroy their traditions, people continue to practice, to develop, and to share the knowledge of capoeira, ensuring it lived on to serve generations to come. Brazil was one of the last places in the world to abolish slavery in 1888, but when it did, these descendants of the motherland began to shape Brazilian culture in a profound way.
There's actually a master in Brazil, a very wonderful intellectual of capoeira, and he says, what do you get with African descendants in Brazil with time in their hand? You get creativity, you get party, you get culture mixing. So, and that's what they did. So in many ways, capoeira is a form of cultural resistance. So if you ask a lot of masters in Brazil, especially masters that would study history of capoeira, and you say to them, what is capoeira? They will say it's cultural resistance. As they kept to life the memories, the stories, the movements of the generations before, in a different place, in a different country, and combining different elements.
While slavery may no longer exist by definition, its destructive influence can still be felt everywhere. Capoeira was born in Brazil as a way to survive the unpredictability of a life outside of slavery. And although its widespread popularity has seen capoeira schools and communities created across the globe, it's important that we honor those who both carried and cultivated this practice, not only as a physical activity or a form of entertainment, but as a means of survival. Although its enchanting and acrobatic moves have propagated the art, Puma and Ponciano are keen to stress that capoeira really is for everybody and every ability, and that more than a show of physical prowess, capoeira is all about learning to move through challenging situations by having corporal conversations with the support of a community around you.
When I was young, I don't have many friends. I was so fat and so shame, and I don't talk with almost anybody. But in capoeira, I saw everybody together and everybody applauds who are in the middle. So it doesn't matter who you are, like everybody will applaud you and give you energy, and everybody will say and send good energy for you. And when I saw this for the first time, and the guys improving like their bodies, but I think the most important thing for me was be together with everybody and don't have problems to be myself.
Capoeira really does not segregate abilities. It really does not. And this is by no way, shape, or form a selling point of the art. I can take people to places where they're gonna go to a roda, and they're gonna see someone moving in a such emotive way, beautiful way, nevertheless moving, but in such an inspiring, emotive, poetic way, and it has nothing to do with level flexibility, level of acrobatic skills. It has to do with head movement, has to do with eye contact, it has to do with cleverness of the thinking about things. We even have a word for that in capoeira, which we say mandinga. It's kind of this kind of magical spell around the movement. And mandinga is associated to old capoeiristas for one reason, not only, but for one reason, because they get wiser. Some of them that age beautifully, they get wiser, and they can outmaneuver you precisely without having to show off or without having to do something that is for the audience. And it's among the most beautiful, sophisticated things the best kind of metaphor for it, it's a conversation. It's a physical, we're using body language to communicate something. Now, that is the one point that we must come back to, which is profound. A capoeira game is going to communicate something.
You ask if your body some questions with your body without talk, and another one respond. But your main goal not is exactly fight or hit me. Is you putting me in so difficult situation for I can go over this. And when I go over this, I put you in another situation and you go over. And we together go over our body, our limits. So we go all the time over our limits.
Let's check in with Robin for some of the science behind just how powerful practices of movement can be on our health and well-being.
Movement is an innate experience. It provides a really powerful sense of physical agency and also allows us to have more active and engaged learning for different things in life. And so capoeira and other movement therapies really help demonstrate the incredible power of the body and its relationship to the mind. And loads of studies continue to prove the impact of movement on well-being and mood and body image, amongst other things. So we have memories and emotions that store in our body. They're encoded in our viscera, becoming embodied, moving, flowing, allows those emotions that are deposited to move through us and free ourselves of some of the weight of these emotions that might keep us, well, feeling sometimes a bit stuck. So to get unstuck, the solution is actually really simple. Begin to move. So these forms of movement are therapy. They're poetry in motion. And while that's an incredibly oversimplified answer, getting into our bodies, moving them alone or even better with community is the solution to so much because it helps shift us from the dominance of the mind. It's a way for us to connect to ourselves and others non-verbally. And there's really great power in that.
Being capoeira roda, you deliver your body and your body only move.
So by now you've heard the roda mentioned a few times, and if you remember from the beginning of the show, the roda is the circle formed by the capoeiristas and the musicians and is a space where a game of capoeira takes place. Let's hear again from Ponciano to find out more about what goes down inside the roda.
So a roda, it's where the capoeiristas will play, capoeiristas will dance, interact, and a roda have three main elements that make the roda what a roda of capoeira is. So you have the orchestra, the musicians, you have the people watching around the roda, they are the participants, or they can be the people also watching from outside in case you're doing a roda outdoors, for example. And you have the two people in the middle, they are dancing capoeira, playing capoeira, as we say, playing capoeira. Think about the idea of three, and this is a really interesting relation, because we are interacting with each other, we're trying to outmaneuver each other, but it has to be empowering and kind. And that's hard. It's taking me a long time to learn this. So if I just challenge you, then obviously you come out feeling maybe not so good. If I just look after you the whole time and there's no challenge at all, you might feel even patronized. You want to feel that there is a challenge. The more I make you better at capoeira, you're going to challenge me. So we are actually helping each other to be, we're empowering each other constantly.
When I first saw capoeira, what struck me the most was its similarity to breakdancing. You know, I grew up on hip hop culture and I used to DJ for breakdance crews. And so there's so many similarities from the circle to the acrobatic moves, to the nicknames and the battle type format. And although breakdancing pioneers claim no influence from capoeira, they actually say they were completely unaware that it existed. Perhaps it's just another manifestation of that same vibration that's pulsed through the African diaspora from Brazil to the Bronx and beyond, transforming oppression into expression. We'll be back to capoeira right after this. This episode is sponsored by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish some real growth. And they're offering listeners to this podcast a free trial of premium membership. Now, there's so many fascinating classes on Skillshare on all kinds of topics, from creativity to productivity to lifestyle and design and so much more. I recently took a Skillshare class called Powerful Storytelling by journalist Soledad O'Brien, and she shared a lot about how to create a thoughtful narrative, whether for your documentaries or podcasts, radio shows, whatever it is, how to get the best out of your interviewees, how to actively listen and respond to the stories that emerge. So it was all super helpful, of course, with what we do here on Roots and Ritual, which is a lot of interviews and a lot of storytelling. And it was great. I could put it on in the background while I was cooking and sort of learn as I was living my daily life. And that's kind of the idea with Skillshare. They've got these short lessons, hands-on projects, and classes designed for your real life so you can move your creative journey forward at your own pace. So why not go and explore your creativity at skillshare.com/trippin, T-R-I-P-P-I-N, where listeners of this podcast get a free trial of premium membership. That's skillshare.com/trippin. The word Jenga translates to English as the swing or the sway. It's the center point from which all your movements originate. It's your signature, your essence, both in a capoeira roda and in life. It's the place you come from and where you return to. It's where you find balance and off balance, this in-between intermediate space where all movements and possibilities are born.
So the Jenga, as my masters say, my teacher says, the Jenga represents who you are. And as you change, your Jenga change, as your Jenga change, you change. And it's this constant movement between you and your Jenga. The closest translation would be the swing or the sway from side to side. You can say Jenga would be the basic movement in capoeira. Yeah, like if you study salsa and you have a basic step, that's the Jenga. But also, the Jenga becomes something more profound because the Jenga will carry the signature. The Jenga will have your calligraphy in your Jenga, which means that everything else that you do can build from the Jenga, as if your Jenga is your capital stem and the flourishings that come after all comes from that Jenga.
This sway, this Jenga, is probably the most important move in capoeira. As well as the poetic description that Ponciano gave us, he also gave an example of how the Jenga can be used in a more menacing way.
It's a bit like if you encountered a good example is actually someone who has if you encounter someone drunk. Why is it quite scary? Because you don't expect where they're going to go next. So if someone's in front of you like that, it can be quite scary because it's that element of being drunk is not in control of what I can do next. I can hurt myself and you. So to think about that parallel, the Jenga, in that sense, it's that.
The music of capoeira is essential to the practice. It sets the pace and dictates the style of the game. And the songs themselves are another form of storytelling. The music is distinguished firstly by its instruments, the most recognizable of which is the berimbau. Now the berimbau gives off a unique sound, quite ancestral and mysterious, and it truly leads the way in capoeira. Now, the songs are another important aspect of the culture, and they can be about many things, from well-known folk tales to songs about the forefathers to songs about what's happening in the roda right in front of them at that moment. Music helps the capoeiristas to tap into both the energy and the ancestry of the game.
But a typical orchestra of capoeira that is most recognized by most people and most groups would have three berimbaus. One would have a large cabasa, a gourd, a median gourd, and a small gourd. And this, they create beautiful harmonies. So if you have a deep sound, a very high pitched sound, and a sound that is between. And they talk, they communicate. The music of capoeira is very profound. A lot of people see the music of capoeira as a background music that people are dancing to. But if you think about the music of capoeira, the very repetitive sounds. So you have three forms of the singing. We have one that tells a story, which is how we begin. So I tell a story, nobody's playing. That's important because if I'm saying something that is quite important about history, or I'm talking about my place of, it's folklore music. So I talk a lot about places where I come from and my people and how I miss a lot of my songs and now to do with how I miss my place and that kind of stuff. So everybody's listening. And then the next part that comes after that singing will be what we call corridos. Yeah? So we have ladainha, then we have chulas, and then corridos.
Okay, so I did tell you capoeira is a lot, so let me break it down. A ladaina is a solo sung at the beginning of the ceremony to open the joda. This is sang by the eldest mestre with one birimbao. A chula follows the ladaina, and it's a short, repetitive type song that gets the players moving inside the circle. And then corridos help to direct the game, talking about what's happening at that moment, and they're sung in a sort of call and response format.
The corridos are very repetitive songs, but they are repetitive for a reason, because they start to give us an ability of a kind of a mild trance. It's something you get from salsa, it's something you get from some, this is something you get from club music. That's why it's that repetitive sound thing. It's something you get with shamanic music. You get that repetitive drum. So we can both kind of beat our hearts similar and it starts to interact in that manner. So the music is extremely important for those reasons, for storytelling, for, again, the cultural resistance to talk about the past, to talk about our aspirations, but also the second part of the music is there to inspire the players. And what the players will then do, there is a feeling where you kind of melt into one. And this kind of capoeira game is where you come out feeling, I thought I liked capoeira, I liked more than I thought I knew, because you just feel that you're both kind of really becoming this one energy. And you have the people watching, which are obviously important to interact, that interaction is important. It is a performance, is that we can talk about how not to make your game for the performance. So I'm not playing for you to watch, but I'm not oblivious with the fact that people are watching and they energy there is important.
The music in capoeira and other movement practices as well is obviously so vital to the experience. It not only helps us get into a state of rhythm and flow, but it helps us synchronize with the music, match the movement in time with it and each other. But there's also something quite fundamental happening in our brain as well. So music connects so deeply to the brain. There's loads of studies that prove the impact of music on our health and well-being. And one of those as well is these rhythmic patterns of music. The rhythmic drumming has huge benefits on our brains. And it helps us enter into something we call a trance state. The same that we can enter when we get into a deep meditative experience. You know, it's that same experience many of us may have felt on the dance floor with friends. And we spoke about this in the Temescal episode already, the ability for that rhythmic drumming to really entrain our brain to balance the hemispheres and put us into this meditative mind state.
A capoeira master dedicates their lives to teaching the techniques, the music, and the language of capoeira with students across the world. As its influence and interest has grown in popularity, genealogy plays a really important role in the culture. To be able to trace back to the founding fathers, Mestre Bimba or Mestre Pastina, comes with a lot of prestige in the capoeira community. But being a mestre or a capoeira master isn't really about the titles, it's about being recognized as the master of your craft. And this uplifting and powerful dynamic between all levels of capoeiristas keeps the community thriving, with knowledge, wisdom, teaching and technique all being nurtured. The mestres are living history to keep the roots of capoeira alive and well.
The best idea of mestre for me is the maestro, the conductor. So the maestro, instead of just being someone who gets a title and just commands things, it's someone who gets a title for its knowledge, for his or her knowledge, and with that knowledge can influence the dancers, the musicians around you, as a conductor would for the best of the orchestra. We need mentors. We need people to say, I've navigated through this map, have a look, you know, to cut some randomness. The idea of mastering African Brazilian culture, you'd have a fisherman. So the elder fisherman was considered the master in that sense. So you had the master, and you had the one before the mestre, what we call contramestre, and you had the young apprentice. And these three are still seen in capoeira today. There are a lot of groups that only have three gradings. And it's based on that. The elder, which represented the knowledge, the one just before, the one has been achieving a lot of knowledge, and the young apprentice, three levels of mastery. I believe in mastery very much. I think it's beautiful, not in the sense of titles, but in the sense of learning something in life and improving and falling in love with a craft, with an art form.
Mastery is a really interesting concept because there's actually many different factors that contribute to mastery. So while there are natural born elements, for example, genetic traits you're born with or family conditioning, that means you perhaps started a skill or craft earlier in life, there's also certain personality traits that help one excel in becoming an expert. For example, having a non-conforming personality, those who are independent, confident, and assertive, and even more importantly, people who are open to experience. This means that those who are more open acquire more experience and knowledge over time. They're more likely to engage in creative acts in an everyday way of being. But science actually shows that the deliberate practice you put into something, which includes time spent with guidance from an experienced coach and teacher, is the biggest contributor to becoming a master at something. It takes time, consideration, and patience to reach new heights of excellence. And it's not necessarily a linear journey. It's not about getting to the end destination of becoming that master, but about the collective skills and knowledge you accumulate along the way, which extends far beyond simply the core goal you set out to achieve.
So we talked earlier about the similarities between capoeira and breakdance culture, which was bubbling in New York City in the late 70s, early 1980s. But interestingly enough, another movement was also finding its voice at the same time in the same place. And that was Vogue, the expressive moving art form born from the Black and Hispanic LGBT community. For Puma Camille, as a child, capoeira gave him a sense of community and a corporal language to express himself inside of the joda. However, Puma found himself challenged later in life when he came out about his sexuality. And it wasn't until Puma discovered Vogue that he found new ways to move and a community that empowered him to continue on his path.
With my sexuality, so hard to express inside of school, family, capoeira, a lot. So when I met that things, that elements, I don't put in my body. But when I saw Vogue in my front, doesn't matter, nothing. When I saw, I thought, oh my God, I need understand. It's healing for me. All the time that I start to put my body in that positions, I need to remember one trauma for me. Like when I need to do this or this or this.
So you can't see Puma right now, obviously, but for context, he's doing Vogue movements, raising his chin, flicking his hair over his shoulder, just so you can get a bit of a visual.
Like this, I remember every moment that I couldn't to do it. Mm. When my hand do this, and I remember, no, it's gay, I need to do this. Or when my body be like this, and I know, no, I need to do this. I need to be straight. So I have many, many, many times in my life that I remind when I dance Vogue. So I'm learning right now about my feminine side, and I think that you have connection with the feminine energy. Doesn't matter if you are a woman or man, have like a peace. If yourself and feminine energy is the way for healing yourself. So Vogue is the space of cure for me. So all the time that I move my body with Vogue, I have connection with one trauma. And when I saw this trauma with power in different way, not is my more shame, now is power everybody around me giving energy and applause when I do this. Like, I'm healing myself.
It wouldn't be inaccurate to say that the world of capoeira has historically been seen as a more masculine activity. Although today there are many female capoeiristas, Puma is really helping to push the conversation forward by bridging the gaps and blurring the lines and just embodying the fluidity that really capoeira is all about.
It's because I understand my power. Mm. I understand that I am who I am. So Vogue me show it. But for people that I don't understand it, maybe it's so hard because I touch where they love and they don't understand. They really think that it's wrong. I'm doing wrong things for the culture, for the culture. Mm-hmm. But they think the culture is they. It's my culture, yeah. It's my thing, it's my, anyone can change. Because the oldest masters do this way and never more can change. And I say, don't have different way because don't have gays before. The gays can't talk. Women can't talk. Travestis, trans women, no one's here to talk. So now I'm talking and my history is different. My body moves different. So now I'm telling my history. I'm continuing with so honor, so much respect, but I continue the history.
I think a lot about how healing a sense of belonging is for human beings. You know, most of our afflictions and addictions are caused by a lack of connection, you know, feeling displaced or misunderstood. And so finding a sense of belonging in a place or a community or just even in your own body is the most powerful tool for well-being that exists. Now, as someone myself of mixed heritage, I've often questioned where I belong, feeling not quite one and not quite the other. I've lived a very transient life as a result, and I've had connections in many places with many people, but it took me a long time to find somewhere that I felt a sense of belonging, which is essentially peace, right? It's a place or a space where your soul feels most at ease and where your mask can come off and you're just embraced for who you are.
There's a message that says the game begins but never ends. Because the game I have with you here is always going to be open. Something happened next time we play is also a continuation of that conversation. Next time we play is a continuation of the last and the one before. I have friends of mine that have been playing capoeira now for 30 years, and every game is a continuation of something else. We're building encyclopedia of feelings, of knowledge, of movement. And some messages even say the game will never end even after. Our energy is going to play capoeira somewhere else. It's going to come back somehow. It's going to influence. It's going. What we do, it's not trivial because influence others. So if I move a certain way and one day you learn from me and you move a certain way, that is culture. And it may sound like a cliche. It perhaps is a cliche, but the idea of the now, to live in the now, as cliche as it is something that capoeira is constantly reminding me. How every single kick, movement, game, experience is fresh in that moment. And if I don't learn how to embrace that, I become hostage to a past feeling or a desire of the future. And that gap between what I'm doing right now and the anxiety of the past or the desire for the future can block my creativity, can block my everything. So how to be in that state of flow, how to use that knowledge to empower others and myself, and to constantly look for those answers, to constantly jinga in my everyday, to constantly learn how to do that, would be the greatest gift, perhaps not even the lesson, but the greatest gift capoeira can give to me. And I'm certainly humble about that in my life.
A a big thank you to Puma and Ponciano for sharing their knowledge and their stories with us on today's show. If you want to give capoeira a go for yourself, both of them are doing classes online, and all of the information is in the description of the show. So please go check them out. Please go and support them in some way, because they're just incredible human beings, amazing teachers, so passionate about capoeira, and they're going to make you love it just as much as they do. Also, thanks to Robin, as always. Thank you to Amy Bennett for editing this episode, and to Project Gemini and Ponciano for the music throughout the show. My name is Yasmin. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to reach out to us, rootsandritual@trippin.world is the email, or you can follow us on social media @trippin.world. Until next time, stay well and stay trippin'.